And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now remember, the ark is a picture and type of God's salvation. I'm thankful for God's salvation, aren't you? Deliverance. Pitch in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit being sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. That's what that pitch did. It made things watertight and waterproof. It sealed it up and made it safe and secure. And that's part of the work of the great Holy Spirit of God. Verse 15. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in it a cubit thou shalt finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life, and under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shalt thou come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So he did. If we look back in the dimensions and the building of the ark, God said there were several dimensions there that he said. But in particular, in verse number 16, God said he wanted a window in the ark. We know that there was one door there, which is a reminder that there's only one way to God. One way, that the Lord is the door. You remember Jesus said in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 10, I am the door. By me, if any man come in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So we're thankful for that. One door. And there was one window. One window for Noah and his family to gaze through. I'd like to bring a message tonight on this particular thought. The window through which we look. The window through which we look. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this wonderful story. Our hearts go out because, Lord, we can certainly sympathize. Lord, we know what Noah was going through somewhat, because the very same thing that Noah had going on in his day and time, Lord, we're seeing happen right here in our very day and time. We're seeing a breakdown of the culture. We're seeing a moving away from God. We're seeing apostasy. We see folks revolting against you and rebelling against your word. We see corruption and violence everywhere. But yet, Lord, we know that you're in control. And as we're reminded that the last days will be like the days of Noah, Lord, there's a challenge and an encouragement here for us. We're thankful that it was so in the life of Noah and his family. They found grace in your eyes. Lord, we know in these last days and times we'll find grace as well to help us through these challenging days and times. So bless the message as we consider these thoughts tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to read you a little article here that I came across the other day. It has to do with windows. And this particular one right here happens to tell the story of a window. And it talks about various windows in our life. It says a window can be that through which we see the openness beyond, or it can remind us of a prison with self as its center. In other words, as we gaze through the windows of life, and we'll look at several of those tonight, a lot of it depends on how we look through that window and what we see as we gaze through that window. This article goes on to say sometimes lessons sting, or as many say, they step on our toes. In reality, these hard lessons can lead to a renewness and a refreshing in our lives, and help us see the beauty beyond as we look through that window. Then it tells the story here that about this one particular couple had moved into a new area and into a new neighborhood. And this young lady said, as she looked out, she saw her neighbor hanging out the laundry. And she responded to her husband by saying, "The laundry is not very clean. She doesn't know how to wash correctly. Perhaps she needs better laundry soap." Her husband looked on, but remained silent, never saying a word. Every time her neighbor would hang her wash out to dry, the young woman would gaze out that window and look and respond with the very same comments, that this woman did not know how to wash clothes and to keep her garments clean. About 1 month later, the woman was surprised to see a nice clean wash on the line and said to her husband, "Look, she has learned how to wash correctly. I wonder who taught her that lesson." Her husband said, "Honey, I got up early this morning and I cleaned our windows." And so it is with life. What we see when we watch others depends on the purity of the windows in which we look through. It says the moral to this story is this: our perspective of others as well as the world varies according to how clean we keep our windows. Isn't that a great story? A lot of times, as yesterday, I was reminded as the storm passed through. I was talking to Kristen on the telephone when the storm came, and she said, "Boy, it's beginning to hail, the wind's howling and all of that." And she was looking out the window at all of that was transpiring. And I told her, I said, "Well, the sun's still shining at my house." I was looking out the window as well. I said, the sun's still shining. And she said, "Well, it's coming." Well, about 10 or 15 minutes later, it began to darken. And sure enough, it came. Now, it wasn't quite as bad as it was here at the church and at Sean and Kristen's house. We had little English pea-sized hail, very little of it, kind of intermingled with the rain. Nothing quite like they had. They had a few quarter-size or golf ball-size hailstones that happened to fall yesterday. But shortly after the storm, it came through quickly. And then I told Kristen, I said, "Things are beginning to lighten up." And I said, "I wonder where the rainbow's at." And it wasn't just a moment till the rainbow appeared as I looked through that window. The rainbow of hope. That's what I saw. One moment looking through the window, there was darkness and despair and destruction everywhere. And the next minute, what was there? There was the beauty of a rainbow and the reminder of the hope and the promises of Almighty God. I'm thankful for those windows tonight. As I think about Noah and his family, as they gaze through that window, we find that this, for them, was a window of God's grace, a window of God's grace. And of course, Brother Sean sang about that this morning. He and Kristen about grace alone, faith alone. And I'm thankful for that wonderful grace of God. Noah and his family, in a turbulent time of life, in a very difficult time of life, much like you and I are living in today, Noah found grace. It's through the window of God's grace that you and I will be able to persevere, that we'll be able to continue on, that we'll be able to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It's that window of grace that'll give us hope and help us to, as the Bible said there in Titus chapter 2, it'll help us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It'll help us to live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, just as it did in Noah's day. In spite of all the trouble and everything, all the violence, all the corruption, we find it was through God's grace that Noah was a just man and that Noah walked with God in spite of everything else that was going on. It was the grace of God that helped them through that. So for Noah, we see the window of grace. As we consider these windows tonight, there are several of them that I would like you to consider. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 20. The book of Acts, chapter number 20. I call this tonight the window of danger. The window of danger. Here we read the story of the Apostle Paul doing a little preaching. I say a little preaching, he kind of got long-winded like some preachers do. You ought to say amen right there, but oh me. But in chapter number 20, verse number 6, the Bible said, "And we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Now, praise the Lord, I hadn't been doing no midnight preaching yet, okay? I don't know when they started. Maybe this was a watch night service like we used to have back years ago. Maybe they started around 10 or 11 o'clock. I don't know, but they may have started at 6 o'clock, and he preached till midnight. But anyway, verse number 8 says, "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat, notice, in a window a certain man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down and slept, and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, Trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day. So he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted." So we find there that this man Eutychus, where was he? He was sitting in the window. What happened? He fell out of the window. The reason I named this one the window of danger is because if you notice, that Eutychus fell out of the window. He fell out of church. Notice the things that many times that we gaze upon. As you've heard it said many times before, as I have as well, that the eye is what? The eye is the window to the soul. It is the window to the soul. That's why you and I must guard what we look at and what we see, because many times it can be a danger to us. Think about the things that we look at, that we gaze at, that can bring great danger and harm to our lives spiritual and get us away from God and get us out of church. Little things sometimes. So we find there's a window of danger for Eutychus. Then there's another window that I thought of, and that was the window of deliverance and mercy. The window of deliverance and mercy. We know the story, as I preached last week, about the walls of Jericho falling down. We know that God had promised, because of her diligent help, to the spies of the land. Rahab the harlot was given safe passage. She was given deliverance when everybody else was destroyed, when everybody else was killed. Rahab the harlot and her family were spared. And as the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 2, that they were let down with a cord through what? Through the window. Through the window. It was through that window she experienced deliverance. She experienced the mercy of God. Now remember, this woman was a harlot. You remember what happened to the woman in John chapter 8? You remember the woman that was taken in the very act of adultery? What did they want to do to her? We know that they wanted to stone her because that's what the law demanded. Rahab was just that type of woman. She was an ungodly woman, but we see here the great mercy of God that we sang about and that we read throughout the scripture about. The mercies of God. God's mercy is not getting what we deserve. Rahab didn't get what she deserved. Her life, her family's life was spared. Why? Because of her faithfulness and her diligence to do God's will and to do God's work and to help the men of God out. And God honored her faith. God honored her faith. In fact, we find her as one of the heroes of faith that is mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Isn't that amazing? And it's through that line, the line of Rahab, that even the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was brought into this world. So we find for Eutychus, there was the window of danger. For Rahab, there was the window of deliverance and mercy. Then we find a similar situation there in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And I call this the window of divine protection. The window of divine protection. Turn with me there to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we find the Apostle Paul in one of his many, many encounters in life that he went through, the various times and difficulties that he experienced. But in chapter 11, the Bible tells us there in verses 32 and 33. He said, in Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king, kept the city of the Damascus with a garrison desiring to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It was one of Paul's many narrow escapes. Divinely orchestrated, divinely brought together through God Almighty. God was not finished with the life of the Apostle Paul, so his life was divinely protected and divinely spared through that window that God used to bring protection to him. Back in the book of Genesis chapter 8, as we look at that window once again in the life of Noah, we find it from a different perspective. Not only for Noah was that window a window of grace, but we find also in chapter 8 that it became a window of hope and happiness. Now the flood waters had came. Now things were beginning to recede, and the water was beginning to recede. And so Noah opened up that window. And notice as we begin reading in verse number 1, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assaged. The fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the water was abated, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. Can you imagine there as he looked out that window? 150 days they were on board. They were on board the ark, that place of safety, that place of deliverance, that place of security for them. Now nothing they've seen but water, rain, and storms. Now they begin to see a glimmer of hope. They begin to see the mountaintops. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove. A dove, again, the picture of the Holy Spirit of God, from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. And the dove found no rest for the soles of her feet. And she returned unto him unto the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off of the earth. A window of hope. A window of hope and happiness. I'm going to tell you, it was a great day for them to see that God had delivered them and that there was newness of life to begin and hope for Noah and his family. Then we find in the book of Malachi the window I call the window of promise. If you'll turn with me there, there's no doubt we could quote this verse, as many could. But the book of Malachi, we see the window of hope. We could also call this the window of God's blessing. We all desire and want the blessings of God upon our lives. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not do what?" He says, "If I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive." This is the window of promise. God makes a promise to the people, to the Israelites in Malachi's day, that if they will be faithful unto God, if they will bring their tithes and be diligent in their giving and in the offerings that they are to make unto God, that God will bless them beyond measure. He will open up the windows of heaven and He will pour them out a blessing that they are not able to receive. Then, of course, in Elijah's day, we consider once again the miraculous, the window of miraculous intervention. The intervention of God. You remember in dealing with Ahab that Elijah came to him and he prayed. He prayed that God would shut up the windows of heaven for 3.5 years. And what did he experience? The miraculous intervention of God. God did what Elijah had prayed. He prayed in the windows. There was no rain for 3.5 years. Can you imagine what great and miraculous intervention this was from God on his behalf? And then after a period of time, after the days of the great delivering and the great destruction that was made on Mount Carmel and the great demonstration that Elijah did there with the 450 prophets of Baal, we're reminded at that time that Elijah prayed once again, and those very same windows of heaven were opened up, and we saw once again the miraculous intervention of God and God bringing forth that rain from heaven. So here we've seen thus far the window of grace for Noah, the window of danger and death for Eutychus. There was the window of deliverance and mercy for Rahab. There was once again the window of hope and happiness for Noah. There was the window of divine protection for Paul. The window of promise for the people of Malachi's day. And that window of miraculous intervention. But for Daniel, it was a window of choice. Turn with me there to the book of Daniel chapter number 6. I preached a while back on this particular subject. But here we find there that Darius, the king, setting a decree, And we find there that Daniel making a choice. In chapter number 6, we begin reading there in about verse number 9. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I don't know about for Daniel or for you and I, but for Daniel, that was an easy choice. It was an easy choice. That window of choice that he made, he opened up that window, he made the choice just as he had done before, just as he had done days and months and weeks and years before. He did it the very same way. He did not let the decree of the king or the ruling of the people or anything else prevent him from doing what God wanted him to do. We may be faced with a window of choice just like Daniel. Before it's all said and done, I hope we'll make the right choice. I hope we'll do as he did in the early days of Daniel when he was a young lad. As we read in Daniel chapter 1, when the Bible says that he purposed in his heart. He determined. He made that choice, that decision, not to defile himself with the king's meat, nor of the wine in which he drank. So for Daniel, it was the window of choice. Last but not least tonight, we see that great window of heaven. That great window of heaven. One writer said that the window of heaven are opened and closed for divine purposes. And remember, just like divine doors in the Bible, when God opens a window, no man can shut it. And when God closes a window, there's no one that can open that window. When we think about the windows of heaven, 3 times they were opened during the earthly ministry of Christ. Those windows of heaven were opened at his baptism. When the Lord God of heaven, Jehovah, said, "Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That window of heaven was opened at his transfiguration when Peter, James, and John saw the Lord Jesus in all of his glory. It was opened before he went to Calvary. In the book of John, chapter number 12, we see the windows of heaven opening up once again. They were opened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They opened for Stephen in Acts chapter 7. You remember the windows of heaven opened, and he saw what? He saw the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I brought a message years ago when heaven pays attention. It's one of the rare occasions when you see the Lord standing. It got heaven's attention when one of the saints of God was persecuted. Thanks be unto the Lord that window of heaven was open for Stephen. We find the window of heaven open for the Apostle Peter on the housetop in Joppa in Acts chapter number 10. 3 times the windows of heaven were open for the Apostle Paul in his ministry. They were open for the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter number 1. And God promised to open up the windows on high to those that do and live right. Isaiah 24 verse 18 says, "For the windows on high are opened." Who are they open to? Psalms 84 11 said, "God is our sun and shield. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Psalms 37 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." The windows of heaven. The windows of heaven are opened at. They're opened at salvation to whosoever will. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful tonight that God opens up those windows of heaven to whosoever will. That one that comes in simple faith, believing that Jesus Christ died for their sins according to the Scripture, that believes that He was buried and believes that He arose again the third day according to the Scripture, the Bible said that salvation will come to that one's house, just as it was in the days of the Philippian jailer. You remember when he cried out to Paul and Silas and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." I'm going to tell you, it was that night or that day that the windows of heaven were opened unto that Philippian jailer, and the Lord welcomed him into eternal life, and his name was written in the Lamb's book of life. Think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, who Jesus was making his way through the city, and Zacchaeus being a man of shorter stature, he climbs up into a sycamore tree to see the Lord that day. And as the Lord passes by, he cries up to Zacchaeus and gives him an invitation. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I'm going to your house." And he did. And that day the Bible said that salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus. What was opened to Zacchaeus that day were the windows of heaven at salvation to whosoever will. I'm glad one day on October the 4th, 1986, that the windows of heaven were opened unto me, and God gloriously and graciously and mercifully saved me from a life of sin and a life of destruction. The windows of heaven are opened in life to those that obey the Lord and live for Him. As we talked about Stephen, Stephen was a man that obeyed the Lord and lived for the Lord. And though his life was taken from him as the stones battered his body and beat his body to death, it was at that very moment that the windows of heaven were opened up. I believe it was so for Lazarus, as we find there, as I spoke this morning in Luke chapter 16, that Lazarus, yes, he died, but the Bible said that literally the windows of heaven were opened and he was ushered by the angels of God into the very presence of heaven. Why? Because of a life of obedience and a life lived for God. God promises the very same thing to us, to open the windows of heaven to those that obey the Lord and that live for Him. Let me say, they're open. Those windows of heaven are opened at death for the saint of God. They're opened at death for the saint of God. One of these days, that death angel is going to pass by us. Now realize, we're going to pass from death unto life. It's going to be an amazing thing. We're going to go through that window of death. That window of death. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The windows of heaven one day will be opened up, just as I said for Lazarus in Luke 16. God opened those windows of heaven and welcomed him home. Do you realize one day that at the rapture, God's going to open up the windows of heaven and he's going to say, "Come up here. Come up here. Come up hither." I'm looking forward to that day. We sing the great old hymn, "It is well with my soul," and that last stanza reminds us that the clouds one day will what? Be rolled back like a scroll. That's like opening up the windows of heaven and the Lord saying, "Come up here." One day that's going to happen. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank the Lord for that window of heaven. That window of heaven will also be opened at the second coming of Christ, the advent, the revelation of Christ, when Christ comes back to this earth. The Apostle Jude says that He cometh with clouds, He's going to come with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment. He's coming, folks. So that window of heaven's going to be opened up, and He's coming back. He's coming back, and while here, there's going to be a great battle like this world has never seen before. And we know who the victor is. We know who the winner is. It's the Lord. He's coming through that window of heaven to conquer this earth, and to establish His kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth. I'm looking forward to that one day. It all happens through a window. It all happens through a window. My question to you tonight is this. What window are you looking through tonight? I'm going to tell you, just like that little illustration is, make sure that the windows that we look through are clean. You know, Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think it's verse number 12, when he says, "For now we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For now we know in part, but then we shall know as we are known." Right now things may look a little dim and a little dark through the glass that we're looking through. But one of these days, we're going to see through that window clearly. Clearly and precisely. We'll be able to see as the Lord sees. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Let's keep our windows clean. And we, like many of them, can experience the windows of hope and joy and happiness and all the blessed and the splendor that heaven has for us. But I'm thankful tonight especially for those windows of heaven that are open. Only God can open those windows for us. And just like He promised the window of promise in Malachi's day, the promise is that He can pour us out a blessing that we're not able to receive. Let's give thanks tonight for the windows that we have in our lives. Make sure the windows that we look through are clean. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, our eyes closed tonight. We're so thankful tonight for that window of grace that God gave to Noah and his family. That's where it all began. It all began. But for Noah, it was through that window of grace. It was through Noah's faith that God blessed him and honored him. In the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household." God allowed Noah to see what was coming. God has allowed you and I to see through the window of His Word, the Word of the living God, of things that are coming. Let's do like Noah. Let's prepare and be ready. Be ready. In fact, that day should not overtake us, the Bible said, as a thief. Why? Because we know that it's coming. Why? Because God has allowed us to look through the window of the Word to be able to see clearly. Let's act upon what we see. And let's prepare for that day and hour as Noah did. It did not catch Noah off guard. I pray tonight it doesn't catch you off of guard either. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for Your dear Word and for the illustrations of many windows. Lord, these windows and how it affected the lives of many of the saints of God and others throughout the Scripture. I thank You, Lord, for the windows of our life. I thank You for that window of grace, that window of deliverance and mercy. I thank You tonight for that window of divine perfection and protection, and that window, Lord, of miraculous intervention, and that window of promise. I thank You tonight for the window of Your Word. And Father, the window of heaven that is opened, a window that only You can open and no man can shut, and only You can shut